CE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Biden back on the campaign trail in Philadelphia. He called for unity among Democrats at a church and then at a campaign office said he would shift the focus back to his opponent, Donald Trump.
The next 120 some days or so, they're going to get a real good look at who Donald Trump is.
However, there's still uncertainty among members of Congress. Five House Democrats have called on the president to step aside, and headaches for the president from Republicans. Chair of the House Oversight Committee requesting an interview with the president's doctor, citing reports that Dr. Kevin O'Connor's not recommended the president take a cognitive test. Beryl is gaining strength, expected to regain hurricane status today and make landfall tomorrow along the Gulf Coast in Texas. And polls have closed in the second round of the French parliamentary elections. First exit poll showing a surge in support for the left and center parties. This is ABC News. Today marks 9 months since the Hamas attack on Israel that triggered the deadly fighting that's gone on to this day. But for the first time in several months, both Israel and Hamas are describing ceasefire talks in positive terms.
Israel announcing it will dispatch in the coming days another high-level delegation for talks on a Gaza ceasefire. That after progress was reported during a first Israeli meeting in Qatar Friday. Hamas dropping its demand for an Israeli commitment to end the war in phase one of the three-phase deal. But officials here in Jerusalem say other gaps still remain and will take weeks to hammer out. CIA Chief Bill Burns expected to join the next round of talks. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Jury selection begins this week in Alec Baldwin's involuntary manslaughter trial in New Mexico. He says the gun he was holding on a movie set accidentally fired when it fatally struck a cinematographer, Helena Hutchins. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WRCE website at WRCE.fm, your news just for the Richland Center area. I'm Joanne Krulatz with WRCE News.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Climate change is making many Wisconsinites think about renewable energy. As Mike Moen reports, while people still want non-fossil fuels, there are shifts in what they want that to look like.
The Pew Research Center is out with a new public opinion report on energy choices. 63% of those surveyed support the U.S. taking steps to become carbon neutral by 2050. But support for expanding wind and solar development has gone down from well past 80% to around 75%. Dr. Kieran Gallagher of the group Clean Wisconsin feels it's important to remind residents that climate change is happening at their doorstep.
We can point to the drought that affected our farmers last summer, and then in stark comparison, the intense rain and flooding events we've been experiencing this spring and summer.
She mentions last summer's smoky air from Canadian wildfires as another example. Advocates say these events might help convince the public to regain confidence in renewables as policymakers try to limit climate disasters. Grid operators warn that as more coal plants and other fossil sources come offline to meet clean energy goals, reliability issues might surface in the short term as energy demand soars. But Gallagher says it doesn't mean wind and solar are failing to keep the lights on.
These last few winters, the energy source that has failed is gas power plants. Solar and wind and some of the recent storms have outperformed more than they expected.
The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission points out that in a 2022 winter storm that impacted parts of the Midwest, 90% of prolonged outages were linked to fossil sources. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Across the area today, some showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures warming to the upper 70s, a south breeze of 5 to 15. Tonight, a couple of showers and storms, mostly cloudy skies, lows of the lower 60s. More storms Monday, highs of the upper 70s. It's 78 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up in the show, we'll talk to the Humane Handling Institute about different ways to raise and slaughter our animals. Interesting discussion. Hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Civic Media's weekly review and discussion of some of the most significant news stories in the areas of law, government, courts, and the aspiration for justice. And now, here's your host, Jim Santel.
Welcome to this, our weekly weekend-venued broadcast. My name is Jim Santel, and I am your host this hour and next hour as well for our broadcast here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. We call our program Amicus, a law review. This is our 105th broadcast since we first went on the air and the networks of Civic Media in the summer of 2022. Delighted and honored to have you with me once again this weekend for our review of all things legal, all things rule of law, all things justice related. We take our name, as you now well know, Amicus, from a legal term. It is derived from the Latin. It describes a friend. Ami is inside Amicus. It's an individual and organization that somehow assists in understanding, appreciation, assessment of some relevant issues or some other challenges, some questions that need resolution to be resolved by a court, for example, a judge, or some other entity that needs information, needs insight and perspective for that decision-making process. That's what gives animation and life to our program. And again, part of that program is your involvement. In our second hour on this weekend broadcast, we're specifically inviting your questions, your inquiries about the subject matter of this broadcast, but also our previous broadcasts, including those of last weekend. Last weekend, I spent virtually all hours, two of them on Saturday, two of them on Sunday, all broadcasting about what the United States Supreme Court, this major time in our nation's history when the Supreme Court issues all of its most significant rulings in May, June, and yes, in July, the first day of July. We spent time last weekend talking about these 10 major cases decided by the Supreme Court in just the previous week. And because of our attention, necessarily the content, the substance of those, decided not to take callers in our last broadcast. This weekend, just the opposite, inviting very much your phone calls and especially your questions and your inquiries about the subject matter, which, yes, once again, is going to be about the United States Supreme Court. That number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. My wonderful producer, Max, also reminds me that you can drop a note in the Civic Media app. Be in touch with us that way. Send your question, your inquiry to Max or me through that process. And we will get to those in our second hour on our weekend broadcast because there are a lot of questions. There are a lot of things that you may want to follow up with and with me and others when it comes to understanding what our Supreme Court has just done. Of course, most important, this broadcast, we're going to be spending some huge amount of time talking about this major case involving Donald Trump, our former president, presently a candidate for the presidency, and the United States. This prosecution that is going forward now in the U.S. District Court in the District of Columbia, based upon four charges brought against him by the special counsel for the Department of Justice, Special Counsel Jack Smith. We have talked a lot about that process. Suspended, not proceeded on, while the Supreme Court addresses issues related to the legitimacy, the rightness, the correctness of the charges against him, and specifically this major issue involving whether or not a president, a chief executive of our nation, is entitled to immunity from crimes committed in office. That's the question that the Supreme Court wrestled with. And yes, just last Monday, in what is arguably one of two major decisions issued by the Supreme Court that's going to change our lives, our livelihoods, and our nation, the United States Supreme Court issued a major opinion and found that there is indeed a presumption of immunity that applies to a chief executive in connection with crimes that may have been committed in office. Because of the seriousness of that finding, we're going to spend a huge amount of time, especially in our first hour on This Week in Broadcast, talking with you about exactly what the majority of the United States Supreme Court said, what the Chief Justice John Roberts wrote about. And then we're also going to talk about what the dissenters, three dissenters, said, two in particular, Sonia Sotomayor and Ketanji Brown Jackson, what they said about this issue of whether or not under our Constitution, under our laws, under our system of the rule of law in America for 248 years, there is indeed a notion in which someone, the President of the United States of America, is above the law. The Supreme Court, even while it's affirming that, yes, indeed, no one is above the law, has made a finding that indeed there are certain things carved out because of the nature of the presidency that require that when it comes to judicial adjudication, resolution of cases and crimes and charges, that indeed a president has immunities in some areas when it comes to criminal acts. And as we have spoken before on this broadcast and others, the perspective that I would offer to you is that that opinion issued by the United States Supreme Court just in the past week changes America. And for that reason, we are going to spend a lot of time talking about exactly what the Chief Justice wrote, a couple of things about what one of the associate justices named Clarence Thomas also wrote about the very legitimacy of the special counsel statute, and then also focusing upon these dissenting opinions. And it is important for Americans to understand not only what our Supreme Court has done and said in detail because of the importance of this, but also to understand the countervailing, the opposite argument, which is articulated so very well by the dissenting opinions. We're going to spend a lot of time reading from the opinion so that you can hear what our justices have said on both sides of the decision and making some assessments on your own, of your own evaluation, based upon what you hear, based upon what you can, in fact, consume at any time when it comes to reviewing this all-important opinion. We recall well that the Supreme Court, in the days just before its issuance of this major opinion in Trump versus United States, issued another opinion, a case called Loper Bright Enterprises, in which it basically changed the ways in which government interacts with courts and courts with government, changed the ways in which our administrative agencies operate, reversing 40 years of precedent when it comes to the appropriate deference given to agency officials who know what they're doing, the experts, the people who are experienced in doing this, and change that such that the judges now going forward have the exclusive capacity to make decisions in areas that, with respect, they do not know about. That decision, called Loper Bright Enterprises, issued just before this other opinion on presidential immunity, changes the way the government works. I would offer that the opinion issued by the Supreme Court in Trump versus United States affects to the detriment our Constitution and changes the very ways in which our Constitution is designed, that is, with checks and balances. I have thought a lot about this in the week or so since the Supreme Court issued this opinion, and I have questioned myself about whether or not I'm being hyperbolic, I'm being too extreme in my responding to this particular opinion. And even in preparing for this weekend's program, I revisited that issue as I put together some portions of the opinion, which we will hear from this weekend. And I've decided that I am not being hyperbolic. You may have a different view about this, but the reality is that our Constitution was changed a week ago by the United States Supreme Court. And it is a Constitution that now advances in the wake of the exaltation of courts, in the wake of that Loper-Bright Enterprises over the decisions of an executive branch, and now an imperial presidency that, as some of the dissenters indicate, have now reestablished something that we have not had. We have not had in 248 years, and that is a king in America. That is not hyperbolic. And I would offer that the language that you're going to hear about today in our broadcast, specifically in this first hour, supports that notion. Again, you, as always, on the civic media broadcast stations, free to come to different conclusions. And I want to hear about those, and I want to hear about all your questions and comments about this assessment as we march through what the Supreme Court did a week ago in changing the very constitution of our nation, the very way in which we interact with government, and the very way in which our president now has capacities to do things in the nature of criminal conduct that he, one day she, never had before. James Madison, George Mason, other people, designers of our Constitution, never contemplated that this kind of thing would happen. Now it is a part of our landscape, of our fabric, and we will talk about that and describe in detail what it is the Supreme Court has done. In addition to issuing this major opinion, and as a part of our comprehensive review of those Supreme Court decisions, it is significant to note that in addition to Trump versus United States issued on Monday of last week, the Supreme Court also took care of two other decisions before it decided to go out of business, if you will, for at least a while. They're actually still there. They're still there handling cases during the summertime. And yes, building a docket for the next term, which is the 2024-2025 term. That begins in October of this year. But before they left, before they issued these final decisions, among those final decisions were two others. One of them is called Corner Post Incorporated versus Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System. It has to do with an Administrative Procedures Act case, and specifically a claim with a timing of when this particular claim accrues under a particular statute, finding that a six-year statute of limitations until the plaintiff is injured by a final agency action is what applies. And there you have another 6-3 opinion. Justices Barrett, Roberts, Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh on the majority, establishing a specific rule when it comes to the timing of the filing of a complaint, opposed by Sotomayor and Kagan and Jackson on the dissenting side. Corner Post versus Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System, having to do with forms of payments, debit cards, all sorts of financial transactions, the Federal Reserve Board, and issues about whether or not a six-year statute of limitations is real or not under a particular statute. That case, Corner Post versus Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System. And then another case that actually gives more attention to what the Supreme Court does, and that is Moody versus NetChoice. This is the other social media case. And there you have a 9-0 opinion saying that because the lower courts have not properly exposed and explored the particular First Amendment issues there, no decision there about that particular case, a 9-0 opinion, sending it back down to the circuit courts to decide about various issues there. When we return, we're going to be talking more about not just those cases, but specifically focusing in on Trump versus United States here on Amicus, a Law Review.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Life hack number 7, get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher-end auto-pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Amicus Law Review. My name is Jim Santel. Thank you so much for joining me on our weekend broadcast, as we have in the past two broadcasts and broadcasts even before then. We are talking once again about the United States Supreme Court as they issue their final decisions of this term before they begin to fill up their docket for the next term and entertain oral arguments in the fall of this year. And again, next year at this time, issuing the next set of major opinions at this time of the year, focusing upon the most recent decisions issued just this past week, three of them in particular, this case involving a statute of limitations under the Administrative Procedures Act, and the second case involving social media, finding that the Florida and Texas statutes that require that social media platform providers moderate their own behavior when it comes to content moderation could not properly be decided. Why, according to the Supreme Court? Because both of the lower courts, the circuit courts in the 11th Circuit and the 5th Circuit, failed to properly analyze the specific legislative enactments here under an appropriate First Amendment analysis. They send the cases back down to those circuit courts, perhaps to the trial courts as well, saying, you've got to do a better job. Come back with it to us when you've resolved these issues under a First Amendment analysis. No clear statement by our Supreme Court about whether or not state legislatures can compel social media providers to regard their content moderation processes as subject to legislation, basically requiring that they explain every time they bring down a particular post for being the focus of misinformation or incendiary type information. That's what the legislation basically said. No resolution of that particular issue, that dispute, if you will, between states and the social media providers until the lower courts wrestle more directly with First Amendment issues. That case, once again, Moody versus NetChoice. The other one, Corner Post versus Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System. The two other cases decided at the very end of this term. And then we turn, of course, to the principal focus of our discussion on Amicus, a law review of this weekend. And that is the case of Trump versus United States. As I indicated in our first segment in this first hour, it is a subject of an awful lot of focus, an awful lot of people on both sides of the political aisle looking at this opinion and scratching their heads. You may recall well that there was a time on this broadcast, a time on many broadcasts out there, television, radio, in the newsprint, all sorts of media outlets indicating that there is no issue here. There is no issue but that an executive of our nation, as understood under our Constitution, is indeed subject to the laws of our nation. And the notion, the idea that somehow a president could commit crimes in office and not be subject to prosecution for those is ridiculous, is crazy. It's basically contrary to the basic tenets of our Constitution. And indeed, for that very reason, I and many other people much brighter, much more experienced than I took the position early on that when the Supreme Court decided to take this case on, they were plainly going to articulate this view clearly, unequivocally, unanimously, that there is nothing to see here, that the president of the United States of America is not above the law, is subject to criminal prosecution, cannot commit crimes in office. And in fact, we saw during the course of the oral argument a lot of what results in the major Supreme Court opinion of just this past week. That is the Supreme Court, at least a majority of them, giving an awful lot of regard for this notion that is indeed ridiculous, that somehow our president can commit crimes in office
and not be held responsible for them. We saw that in the oral argument. We're very concerned about it. And indeed, it shows up. It shows up in even a more robust nature in the opinion that the Supreme Court has issued. The majority opinion that I commend to all of you in terms of reading because of the significance of it to the future of our nation, not just in this political season, not just for the presidency as it begins a next term in January of 2025, but for the future of America. We know that in the end, the United States Supreme Court said this, and this comes, as do all of the other recitations this weekend, directly from the order, the opinion of the United States Supreme Court, issued by John Roberts, authored by him, joined in by the majority as well, and with, of course, two dissents, joined by three dissenters, and a couple of concurring opinions, which we will also talk about, coming from Justice Thomas and, very interestingly, from Justice Amy Coney Barrett, separating himself a bit from a key piece of this major order, which we will talk about as well. What, in the end, does the Supreme Court say definitively and clearly? It is stunning. It is shocking. The Supreme Court says this: we conclude that under our constitutional structure of separated powers, the nature of presidential power requires that a former president have some immunity from criminal prosecution for official acts during his tenure in office. That language should be chilling to all of us, at least with respect to the president's exercise of his core constitutional powers. This immunity must be absolute. And we'll talk about one specific incarnation of that ruling when it comes to the U.S. Department of Justice, which is perhaps the most significant thing that the Supreme Court says. As for his remaining official actions, Chief Justice Roberts writes, he is also entitled to immunity. At the current stage of proceedings in this case, however, we need not and do not decide whether that immunity must be absolute and instead whether a presumptive immunity is sufficient. And so the upshot of all of this is that there are some areas, which we will discuss, where a president is absolutely immune, no possibility of prosecution for crimes committed, and other areas where there is a presumption of that same kind of immunity that, yes, indeed, has got to be overcome by the government in its presentation of this case. Other aspects of this particular opinion, which we will focus on, are also about the specific ways in which this particular trial can, in fact, go ahead now in front of Judge Tanya Chutkan. She is the district court judge who now has this back on her docket for a trial, presumably sometime in the future. We'll talk about the timing of that in future broadcasts. But all of this premised upon a basic notion that is also set forth early in the opinion. This notion of a very muscular and very, very energetic, a very energetic United States executive. Here's what the Chief Justice says. He says the framers sought to encourage energetic, vigorous, decisive, and speedy execution of the laws by placing in the hands of a single, constitutionally indispensable individual the ultimate authority that, in respect to the other branches, the Constitution divides among many. Now, he's acknowledging there plainly that we do have a tripartite Constitution, three branches of government, but note the muscularity of that description, that energy, that vigorous, decisive, speedy execution, which animates all that comes forward. That is a fundamental notion that's set forth in Justice Roberts' opinion here. That vigor is also described when he says this: the framers' design of the presidency did not envision a counterproductive burden on the vigor and energy of the executive. That notion of a very strong, arguably even stronger than the legislative branch, that also animates much of this. Then we go on to talk about presumptive immunity. And as our discussion continues, we'll hear from the Chief Justice and the majority about what exactly that means and how it implicates the future of our nation, right here on Amicus, a Law Review.
News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Biden back on the campaign trail in Philadelphia. He called for unity among Democrats at a church and then at a campaign office said he would shift the focus back to his opponent, Donald Trump.
The next 120-some days or so, they're going to get a real good look at who Donald Trump is.
However, there's still uncertainty among members of Congress. Five House Democrats have called on the president to step aside, and headaches for the president from Republicans. Chair of the House Oversight Committee requesting an interview with the president's doctor, citing reports that Dr. Kevin O'Connor's not recommended the president take a cognitive test. Beryl is gaining strength, expected to regain hurricane status today and make landfall tomorrow along the Gulf Coast in Texas. And polls have closed in the second round of the French parliamentary elections. First exit poll showing a surge in support for the left and center parties. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers trying to break a losing streak. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers could not get it done last night, scoring too little too late in a 5-3 loss to the Dodgers in Los Angeles. Dodgers' Will Smith with another home run after hitting three Friday night. Pat Murphy telling reporters before the game of a growing concern about the bullpen with relief pitchers like Elvis Peguero, Yoel Piamps needing a break. The Brewers trying to avoid being swept today by LA. A 4-game losing streak would be their longest of the season so far. NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo leading team Greece to a 96-68 win over Slovenia. Greece now just one game away from qualifying for the Olympics. More rumors that the Bucks are shopping 36-year-old center Brook Lopez on the trade market. Lopez says he feels he still plays a unique role in Doc Rivers' game plan.
You know, you just got to be ready, be prepared. We got a ton of different shooters, but, you know, it's a pretty atypical position for a 4 or 5 to be in, even in this modern day league.
That's the Bucks' Brook Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Across the area today, some showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures warming to the upper 70s, a south breeze of 5 to 15. Tonight, a couple of showers and storms, mostly cloudy skies, lows of the lower 60s. More storms Monday, highs of the upper 70s, currently 80 degrees.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now.
800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Life hack number 7, get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or StraightTalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher end auto pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it. And I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no? As a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball from WRCE Radio is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet Buick.
When President Biden wanted to set the record straight, he called Civic Media Network's Earl Ingram Show.
So I screwed up. I made a mistake. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years.
Hear the complete conversation now at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball from WRCE Radio is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet Buick, A&W Restaurant, Badgerland Flooring, Clary Memorial Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Meister Log and Lumber Company, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Bailey Paint and Decorating, Papa's Trading Post, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, Richland Electric Cooperative, Schmidt Woodland Hills, The Shoebox, Walsh's Ace, McFarland's Manufacturing, All-American Do It Center, and Goplin Insurance.
Cocktails. Less is more.